And God's program will never get to where it needs to get unless he's Lord. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. Amen. Amen. And the problem is that we really say we do, but every Sunday we find out that we really don't. Every week we find out that we really don't love him more than anything. Amen. If we had time, we'd have to understand this morning that we have to love God more than anything. Anything that gets in God's way, he's going to ask you for it. Amen. Anything. You're not really willing to worship him until you're sold out anyway. We said we want to follow the Lord. Amen. The rich young ruler said he wanted to follow him. He said, well, sell everything you got. And then amen. Y'all know what happened? He found out that there was something that I love more than you. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. He got to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And anytime we have something that we love more than God, then God is going to send you, he's going to give you a test. He's going to give you a test. Now, amen. So Abraham got the boy of his life, the dream of his life. He got the little boy, Isaac. And now everything is fine. Everything is fine. And God says, I want Isaac to be killed. I want to take your son. Now, God is not for human sacrifices. That was something that the pagans did. But this is just a test of the emergency broadcast system. Amen. That's all this is. This is just a test. Now, he already knew about how faithful Abraham was. But Abraham didn't know. You see, we've got to get to the point to where we know that there's nothing before him. And we've got to get to that point. Now, we get to the point to where we'll come to church and we'll become a Christian, but then you got to get beyond the point. You got to get beyond that point. To the point to where there is no going back. Have we got a witness? Amen. You can't play footsie with God. Amen. You can't jump in and out, in and out, in and out. Amen. He wants you to get in the boat with both feet. Amen. And then push the boat on out in the water. Amen. And then not have to worry about you going back. God is that kind of a God, and God will test you, and you need to know. Abraham needed to know, and many times we need to know that we need to know how much we really do love the Lord. And the only way we can find out, you see, because tests are for the inside. Amen. Tests are not for the outside. Tests are for the inside. God gives us tests to develop us on the inside. Abraham may have kind of gotten in his mind that, maybe I love the Lord and I don't love this boy more than the Lord, but it needed to be acted out. And that would do more for him on the inside than it would on the outside. If he never knew, God was developing Abraham. The Bible says that God already knew. We know God is omniscient. Amen. Amen. When he said, for now I know in verse 12. Amen. God already knew. Amen. God is omniscient. Now I know it. He did not get information. Those tests are for our development. Now, we know God didn't need no information. Amen. Amen. That was for Abraham's own development. Let's not bore you too long. What we want to understand here this morning is that we've got to get to that point of being obligated. And what the test does is it lets us know where our faith is. God said, I'm gonna get you in a tight. I'm going to get you in a bind. I'm going to see where your faith is. Amen. You need some tests. There's nothing that will grow you up like a test. You ever been scared to death and you found out everything was all right? Well, God just used that. He knew everything was going to be all right. He just wanted you to go through it. To scare you to death. Amen. Amen. I often play this trick on my wife. Amen. Amen. I play this trick on my wife. I tell her something that she really don't want. She really don't like. And I'll tell her. And I know everything's all right. But she just go through all kind of just concern and worry and worrying about what, you know, you didn't let that happen. You didn't. I already know the real story. But the growth she got out of it made me just, and I wasn't worried about it. And see, oftentimes, that's the way it is with God. That's the way it is with God. God knows ain't nothing to worry about. But he put you in a situation where you think it is something to worry about. And although it don't happen, he still, you're the increase of you worrying to death. You still get growth out of what scared you. And he end up getting the growth and then let nothing happen to you. All he wanted was you to be tested. All he wanted was you to be developed on the inside. He knew all the time that there was nothing to worry about. But you didn't. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so in he is he. So if I can get you to think it, you'll go through it. I can send you through something without even letting it happen by getting you to believe something that's not true. And you can get the same results as if it was true. It can be something bad that'll grow you up, but all at the same time, it'll end up not being true, but I still got the growth. Hey, man, I don't want to. You ever been scared and the doctor told you everything's all right? And you matured immensely. Well, I think you got the point that I'm trying to make about there is that obligation. We must be obedient to God. And God is going to ask us. And along the way, we may want to lie. We may want to do certain things along the way. We may falter along the way. But as long as we're faithful, as long as we keep moving, God is going to prove our obligation. How did he prove his obligation? He asked for that which he loves the most. Now, you will only love things the way you should when you don't let them come before God. I can only be the best parent I can be when I don't love my kid more than God. Most of us think that I've got to put God second and then love my kid. But no. You can only be the parent you need to be when you put God first. When you put God first, before your kid. Is there anything, just examine yourself, is there anything, amen, between, in your relationship with God that comes between you, that comes before God? Is there anything, anybody, amen, that comes before God? Whoever that is, they got to be moved. They got to be moved. They got to be moved. Now, and you have got to prove to God that they don't come before him. He's going to give you a chance to go up the mountain. Ah, Lord, he is going to allow you the opportunity to prove to him. He's not just going to let you say it. See, Abraham could have just said, do you love Isaac more than me? He could have just asked him, and Abraham could have said, no, I love you the most. God could have settled for that. After all, he already knew he did. But this was all about the development of Abraham. And oftentimes, we've got to go through stuff. We've got to go through stuff. No matter what our mouths say, we've got to go through stuff to mature. And God allows us to mature by giving us the opportunity to prove to him, amen, that it doesn't come before him. And the way he does that is he's going to put us in a tight. He's going to put you in, he's going to take Isaac. I want Isaac. Isaac. Isaac was his world. Isaac was his everything. His world revolved around Isaac. And so, after all, Isaac is the one that the promise is going to be fulfilled through. God can't mean Isaac. Yes, Isaac. Oh, I'm here to tell you that there are just too many Isaacs around. And God is not getting his best. He's not getting his best because there are some Isaacs, some people, some things that between you and God, they're standing in between you all's relationship. There are too many Isaacs. Well, so he's going to give you a chance to confirm your love. Amen. To prove it. He's going to give you a chance to prove it by asking you for your Isaacs. And he asks you for your Isaacs every time he asks you to do something and you put something before him. Whether it is putting a program before you read your Bible, or putting a plan of sports before you get down on your knees and pray in the morning. God asks us for the sacrifice. That's the reason why God, I don't want to talk about food, but that's why God really allowed fasting in the Bible. Because you can get to where you like food. God said, I don't want nothing to come before me. Matter of fact, I want you to fast twice a week. Amen. You see, I got to keep you balanced. I got to keep you balanced. I can't let you get hooked on nothing. I got to keep you balanced. So now I want your food. You can't eat. Show me that you can resist that. And show me that I come first and your focus is only on me. God doesn't need our food. God doesn't need our money. But he knows that there's something that we love. And so he's going to ask for it. Give me some of your money. Give me some of your food. God asks us for those things. Give me some of your family member. Those things that we're just crazy about, wild about, just absolutely nuts about, that comes before him. Oh, I think this message done fell on deaf ears. It ain't fell on deaf ears. Am I getting anywhere? It's, Lord, I preached it at the last minute. Amen. That's why I got all this stuff up here. The fact is that when you can't put anything before God, and God is going to ask for it because he don't want you committed to nothing more than him. And if you have something that you won't let go of, then you got idol gods in your life. Amen. That's your Isaac. That's your Isaac. Whatever's keeping you from going to church. Whatever's keeping you from doing what God, being obedient to God. That's your Isaac. You might be your Isaac. I'm selfish. I want what I want. God said, I don't want you to have it. Well, I want it, Lord. Didn't I tell you to deny yourself? I want this, Lord. I'll do everything but this. I'm not giving up my beer. I'm not giving up this language. I'm not giving up this. I'm not giving. I'm not giving it up. Is there anything you won't give up? Amen. God, you ain't ready. You're not ready. I watched a group as they tried to pull us to praise. I've been trying to get, why is it so hard to get folk to praise the creator of the universe? Amen. Amen. The fact of the matter is, lest I hold you too long, we need to understand that God, you have the opportunity to convince God. Amen. He's going to leave it on your court. He's going to ask you for your Isaac. And what we find in this verse, is that they went all the way up the hill. Here he goes with his son, his only son. He walked for miles to get to Mount Moriah, the same hill Jesus was crucified on. And he walked for miles to get to that. And then they were on their way up the hill, and he said, "Lord, where's the sacrifice?" "Where is the sacrifice?" And he said, "The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice." And he got all the way up to the altar. And he went ahead and put his son's hands behind his back and tied him up. Because you got the sacrifice, you got to tie it up. And then you throw it up on the altar. And then you got to cut his throat. Amen. Because then he's got to bleed to death. Amen. That blood normally would go, amen, toward the Ark of the Covenant. It would go toward the tabernacle. But in this case, and so far his son hadn't seen nobody who's really, we supposed to be sacrificing somebody. So he puts his son on the altar, and here we find the moment of truth. Can everybody say the moment of truth? The moment of truth is in verse number, as we start at verse, it's in verse number 11. But when we get to verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. That was slay. He was about to slay his son. He hadn't slayed him yet. Because what God is doing is he's doing something to Abraham. He already knows what's going to happen. On the inside, something has to click inside of Abraham. I guess I'll put it this way. On the inside of Abraham, something has got to be released. That's going to, if he's holding Isaac, he has got to get to the point to where he opens his hand. He's got to give up Isaac. He's on his way up the hill with his boy. He's got his boy. And he told God, "I love you, Lord. You're the center of my joy. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He pitied every groan." "You don't like Isaac more than me, do you?" "No." "Okay, everything. Well, I'm going to give you a test to see. And so I'm gonna make you think. I'm gonna make you go through with it. Have I got a witness?" That's the way we do with our kids. Amen. We gotta convince them that we will take them out. We know we won't. But we gotta get them to that point, to where they think my mama will kill me. That's a weird piece of space right there, isn't it? But they've got to get to a point where they say, "You know, my mama will kill me. My mama won't kill me." "Will you?" "Yes, you will." "You better not do that. Your dad will kill you." That's a weird space. But it's a necessary space. For you to think that he might. And what it does, it make you act right. So now, I got Isaac up here, and inside, he's still got Isaac. In verse 10, he still got Isaac, and he's stretching forth his hand, but he still got Isaac. But now, when you get to verse 11, he got him to the point that he needed to be, but verse 11, he reaches the point of no return. You know how I know? Because, see, he got to get him to release Isaac. That's the goal. Inside. He's got to release Isaac inside. And I wish I had time to talk about it. But your Isaac's got to go. I'm not through with that. Can you tell? Amen. Your Isaac's got to go. It may be your wife. It may be your honey. It may be your money. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But it can't come before God. When God speaks, you got to give it up. I don't know what it is, but it's got to go. It's got to go. God, it's got to go. And so what happens is this. He got to get to the point to where he opens his hand. And that point is in verse 11. You know how I know it's in verse 11? The angel of the Lord called from heaven and said unto him, you know how I know it's from the Lord? You know how I know he opened his hand? Because he called his name twice. Abraham, Abraham! He said, this boy's going through with it. He finna kill this boy. And if God ain't called your name twice, you have not gotten past the point of no return. Then he knows. It may be your hobby. It may be your honey. It may be your kids. Maybe your grandkids. Maybe your grandpa. I don't know. But it's got to go. Shout, I don't know, it's got to go. I don't know what it's got. And he called your name. Now, as I close here, basically, after he gets him to that point, now they both came down here. God stopped him. God has a way of stopping things. Abraham was like, he was fixing to kill him. Whether he thought he was going to raise him later or whatever, he was going to die today. And now he knows that I have all of Abraham. That boy, he ain't crazy over that boy he got. He ain't crazy over the boy he got. Now, and see, now he's reliable. Now he's reliable. Amen. That's where the offering comes in. Now he's going to offer himself to me, and I have all of him. I don't have half of him. Now he is dependable. See, God can't depend on folk when somebody else or something else comes first. I didn't even study for this message. You're not reliable until he comes first. He can't depend on you. It's up to you to convince God that nothing comes before him. Nothing comes first. Nothing comes in place of him. And it's when we get in these tight situations and we are willing and ready to do what's necessary to go above and beyond the call of duty. We've got to go beyond the average. You got to go the extra mile. You got to do more than what's normal. You got to love enemies. Amen. 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 You've got to love enemies. You've got to love enemies because God wants to know if you are addicted. Do you have an addiction? There's something you're addicted to. You can't give it up. I love them so much. God said, you're an addict. It's just like having crack. Do I have crackheads in my church? Folk who are addicts. They hooked on people. They hooked on their kids. They hooked on their money. They hooked on their food. They hooked on themselves. Do I have an addict, whether it's drugs or people? God don't want no church addicts. You are addicted to some people and you won't let them go. You are addicted to certain behaviors and you won't let it go. You are addicted to certain language and you won't let it go. If push comes to shove, if you push me, I'll let you know I have not let it go. Stand to your feet. God. You won't be the servant I want you to be until I know you're not an addict. When I know that you are dependable, reliable, God has to, he has to know that he has to sit in heaven and say, you know, I'm guaranteed. Is your service guaranteed? Father, we thank you now. Heads are bowed, hands are joined. Somebody here may have some Isaacs. Oh, Lord, and I just pray that they would open up and give you their Isaac. And we know that after that, they will be reliable, dependable. You'll have some choir members you can count on. Some Christians, some auxiliary leaders. If there's somebody that don't know you today, we pray that they'll open up and let the world go and make you their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand.